It's a bonus Two Guys, One Mic segment, still sitting in with Mark Graydon and Dr. Jeffrey Sandler. Mark, you said something to me in a text that I wanted to talk about. That you'd rather see, in certain cases, your team lose a round previous rather than advance to being outmatched by their biggest rival.
Well, basically, when we lost to Italy, I took a ton of consolation in the fact that not only were we outclassed massively by the Italians, but they go on to face the Germans. The Germans, in nearly every sequence, would have given us an absolute shellacking in the semi-finals. And not only is my wife German, I work in the German beer garden, I would have had to sit there for 3 or 4 nil. Could have been 5 nil. And I'm sitting there. I actually thought, oh, let's go out with a whimper on penalties rather than get shellacked by the Germans.
See, and this is something that kind of just doesn't sit well with my reckless defiance at all times.
But it shouldn't. You're totally giving up. I mean, aren't you essentially saying at this point in time, we don't want to play Germany when they're this good? Ever in any tournament?
Well, there is this thinking that if we had made it through to semifinals, you're massively papering over the cracks. England have been dominated by the Ukraine, by Sweden, by France, and now by Italy.
Yeah, but you're advancing though. I mean, there's always a dream, man. The Giants were 9-7. They got beaten 700-12 by the Saints. That's how I remember it.
And all it would have meant,
and they went on and won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but it's different. It's different for this because what it would have meant was we would have gone home. We're not beating Germany and then beating Spain.
You gotta have the attitude that you know what you need. You need somebody to step up. You need a guy. You need son of a.
You wanted Drogba to come along, right?
Now, did you? Let's analyze what's been working for us.
Right, you're outmatched, but you get one of these.
Not
okay.
A thing's been working for us. Like this damn suit doesn't work for me. And this stinking tie, and this shirt, it doesn't work for me.
Roy Hodgson giving this speech.
You know how to play winning hard-nosed football. You play football like Ed Gennaro played football.
Right?
A guy who gave his life for this football team. He was a 140-pound halfback, and he played like a damn wild man. No, like a round pig.
This is all you need.
And that's the way you're
going to go out
do
there
it.
And you kick you the German ass.
You tear their heads off and you down their necks. Let us pray.
Right? That's
right.
It.
Right.
You're outmatched, but now.
Seriously, how good is Necessary Roughness?
How good is Robert Loggia?
I thought that was Remember the Titans.
So no.
I'm kidding.
That is. Ooh. But how good is Robert Loggia? Loggia.
It's excellent.
Right, basically, obviously,
automatic six.
Loggia,
automatic 6 out of 10 if Loggia's in the movie. Can you think of anything he's been in that he wasn't at least a six?
Well, the problem with that is that he's one of these ultimate supporting character guys. You can't think of a movie where he's really the main guy.
It's true, but I like some like William H. Macy. He's Drek in whatever he stars in, a la Jurassic Park 3, but. If he's a supporting actor, the movie's phenomenal.
Jurassic Park 3 is a 6. Easy. It's an amazing movie.
A 6?
Oh my god.
Jurassic Park 3? 3. You know we're talking about 3, right?
3 words.
Wasn't Tia Leone in that?
3 words. T-Rex versus Spinosaurus. Actually, 4 words. If T-Rex is 2. No, it's a great movie. Great movie.
It's not a 6, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a
borderline 7 on that. I think it's better than number 2.
Oh, come on.
You hear that massive scream, and then all of a sudden Samuel gives his look. Looks like he goes a bit cross-eyed, then goes, T-Rex sounds bigger. How does he know? How does he know it sounds bigger than a T-Rex?
It's kind of his job.
But he's been looking at bones and fossils. Sounds bigger. You don't know that.
He's been on the island with them. That's he was true. In one.
T-Rex has grown 5 years.
Well, he did have a lot of T-Rex experience.
He had some T-Rex experience, like running from them and watching people get eaten by them.
Yeah, but you're not really listening to, he's 26 feet tall by that roar. That's how Samuel talks.
Yeah, but don't you play Dinosaur Hunter like crazy on your iPad?
I mean, wait, hang on.
Can't you tell what they are by the sound?
Let me ask you a question.
You can.
let me ask you a question. The late Gary Coleman says hi to you, and Ving Rhames says hi to you. They're both wearing a blindfold. Which one do you think you're going to be like, oh, You know, Gary Coleman sounds like he's about 7 feet tall. No!
All right, Ving Rhames is actually he's actually surprisingly short. I think he's much shorter than his voice.
Okay, then substitute Michael Clark Duncan for Ving
Rhames. I was thinking
Ving
exactly Rhames. The same person. Exactly the same. All right,
Michael Clark Duncan. You have a blindfold on. Michael Clark Duncan says, hi. Gary Coleman says, hi. Are you going, man, I think the second one sounds like he's 9 feet tall.
Ving Rhames and Gary Coleman. My question to you, and this is fascinating to me, which did you come up with first and then try to pick the other one? Did you pick Gary Coleman and you're like, I need a really big dude, and then you went Ving Rhames, or did Ving Rhames come in there and you're like, small, Gary Coleman?
To be honest, it was Gary Coleman, and then I was thinking Michael Clark Duncan in my head, and Ving Rhames came out.
Ah, okay.
I get the two confused. And
I was wondering why you went, you know, Gary Coleman rather than like Emmanuel Lewis. Like, what was it? Did you do?
it just kind of happened. Gary Coleman was the first. I need someone small with a high pitch. Gary Coleman.
Ving Rhames, they give him a generous 6 foot on Wikipedia.
Generous. The beauty of smartphones. What were we talking about?
Right, so basically, obviously I would have preferred England to win, but I could take consolation in the fact that we didn't get shellacked by the Germans, and it means that we can't go, oh, we made it to the semi-finals, we've got a top four team in Europe, we're fifth in the world. That's all absolute
okay, so
crap.
So it's more of a consolation thing for you. Not you're sitting there watching Rooney take the penalty going, man, I hope he misses this so that we don't have to
face
the
Germans.
No,
absolutely not. You'd always want to win. It's just that in the end of it, I can look at it and go, okay, England really need to go back to basics and change their philosophy on football, because what we're doing is completely wrong, route one, crap.
So so you were really worried that the British media would just completely blow this out of proportion and say that you've so over...
Absolutely. We could have done a Greeks, and it hasn't helped the Greeks. They won the Euros in 2004. Now, obviously, I would take a win over anything. I would love that. It's just to go through, play the Germans, and get killed. I'm like, if you're a Yankees fan...
But the title means... The title just erases everything.
Absolutely.
I don't care what... The Giants could go 0-16 this year. I'm looking at the ring. Now, I'm not going to say that week 8 when they're 0-8 and I'm breaking things. But I'm going to be okay with it because they've got a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but how many years would that last?
One.
Okay, right. So
1 year. No, and then the grace period's over.
If England win a Euro or a World Cup, I'm done for 2 decades. A solid 2 decades. That's it. And I won't complain. I won't moan. Since England won the Rugby World Cup in 2003, I haven't even paid attention to rugby because I've gone, that's it. We're world champions. Every other tournament doesn't mean anything. Even if we lose, I'm like, I don't care, we won the World Cup. So it's like the Boston Red Sox. They won their one.
Let's not talk about it.
All right. Okay. And then they won their two. I know they won two, but now they've won it. It almost doesn't matter what goes on at the moment.
Let's not talk about it.
What did they do? Did they win in 7 games?
I swear to God, I'm going to come across that table and beat you to death with your own shoes.
Don't the Yankees have the best record in baseball right now?
They're close, but...
No, I'm pretty sure that they're the top. And you're talking to a Cubs fan, so watch your tone, son. Did you see our scoreline from yesterday where we were generous enough to give up 17 runs to the Mets? It's like the Mets.
Yeah, but you took 2 or 3 from the Mets. But
it's like they forgot they were playing the
seriously,
Cubs.
Seriously.
Like the Mets actually forgot they were playing the Cubs.
Rookie of the Year is like the highlight of a Cubs fan's life, isn't it? That movie. it's the highlight of Cub fan life this point.
What else is it going to be, Joe?
It's rookie of the year.
This is the weirdest conversation, a Yankee fan complaining about baseball to a Cubs fan.
Look, I have high standards. I don't know what to tell you, okay?
Actually, so...
I have high standards. I like my teams. I like my sports teams winning. My rock and roll hard. All right, that's it.
Yeah. Well, there's one avenue where America, we're losing. We're losing the rock battle.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. Who do you think is America's greatest rock band? Because they're all... We've had this conversation before.
Right.
Guns N' Roses.
Stop it. Get out of here. Stop it. What were they active for? For like a year and a half before Axl Rose tried to murder everyone in the...
No, this is nothing about timing. I mean, the Beatles were what, 8.5 years?
Yeah, but they were best 8.5 years where
Appetite for Destruction is a tremendous album. I don't care what you say.
It's amazing.
All of you.
And
Guns N' Roses. Is that seriously?
I know you're
going to
mention the Eagles, but they've got like 3 good songs.
They've got so many good songs.
You actually had a criteria that you had laid out at one point in time about you have to have a certain number of anthems. People have to know a certain number of your songs.
That's true. Guns N' Roses, I mean, I guess you could say...
The Eagles have done like Hotel California and Take It Easy. Is that it? Maybe Tequila Sunrise. We got 3 songs.
Tequila Sunrise, Take It to the Limit.
Desperado, son.
Desperado. Heartache Tonight. Come on!
Yeah, I've never heard that. Yeah.
You're a liar. You're a dirty freaking liar.
For every one of their songs, you can go Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, Rolling Stones.
Well, yeah, you can do that with every American band.
The English bands or the British bands just kill it.
You're right. Yeah. You're kicking our ass. Yeah. You're getting back at us for the revolution.
We've got the Beach Boys.
Taking
one style of song.
That's where I kind of eliminate the Beach Boys, is because they just play surf music and that's freaking it. Whereas the Beatles are the Eagles are cross genre. Mm. Unlike Guns N' Roses. Unlike Allman Brothers, who would be my second choice.
I think. November Rain. It's almost a pop ballad.
What about Journey?
Journey's interesting. The problem with Journey is that all... See, Journey... Hang on. See,
oh, here, my God. See, here it is. So many bad fans.
See, here it is. Here it is. Mark is getting caught in this trap that everyone gets caught in.
Don't Journey stop songs, believing. That's the only song that comes
Journey
to my head.
Journey songs have been so cliche. They're so cliche at this point, nobody recognizes that, man, that's actually really good... Like, Bob Seger's Old Time Rock and Roll. It's so cliche that you almost can't stand to listen to it. But if you do, you're like, man, it's actually a pretty good tune. That's Journey. Journey's got a lot of hits where it's like, I can't friggin' believe I'm listening to Journey right now.
But
when you think about it, Don't Stop Believin's a great song. When the Lights Go Down in the City is a great song.
Separate Ways.
The hits keep coming, brother.
Oh, my God. I mean, honestly, you've got Whitesnake, Scorpion. Where are you going to end?
The problem is that you're sitting over in England. You guys got everything. Yeah, so you can look down at any one of our
brands. We get it. The Beatles, the Rolling Stones, the Clash, Pink Floyd. They've got everyone beat. But wait, what was the last one you just said?
The Jam.
The Jam? Yeah. You really picked The Jam to come out on?
Actually,
we're talking about The Beatles.
I was meant to say The Police, and then I forgot in the middle of like.
I'm sorry. Let me just add, Jeff. The Beatles, the Rolling Stones, The Who, The Jam. One of these things is not like the other. Which one is it? Is it perhaps The Jam?
All right, you call it the jelly over here. Anyway, but we've got the Kinks. We got the Animals. I mean, they've just got a plethora of decent bands.
You're right. Britain, that's where the argument came from, because even Queen, Britain has, and even you have to eliminate Hendrix, because I believe most of Hendrix's, the other factions of Hendrix's band was British, except for Hendrix.
Yeah, but I give that to Hendrix. I think he fronts, I mean, it's the Jimi Hendrix experience. It wasn't, I would give them American.
Well,
Fleetwood Mac, now that's a bit of a, you know.
I don't think Fleetwood Mac's quite at the.
Fleetwood Mac is far better.
Fleetwood
than the
Mac could level the Jam, but I'm not sure they're at the level of the other groups.
Fleetwood Mac is better than the Eagles.
Oh, you're out of your freaking mind.
Absolutely.
You're out of your mind.
Absolutely.
But when we were talking about this before, we weren't taking solo artists or people.
Right, we weren't taking solo.
Couldn't say like Bruce Springsteen.
Right. We were taking just bands.
And Bruce Springsteen's one of the most overrated artists you will ever hear. Oh. He's got
you're such a musical snob Rocking with your Jam up. And your Beatles and the Jam
like
again.
Christmas song.
How many Jam CDs do you have?
I don't even have. It was a complete mistake. I wish I could take that back.
That's following you around forever.
I know.
Next time I walk into the beer garden, hey, Mark, can we get some Jam?
Oh, God.
Yeah, brother.
What is that Christmas song that Bruce Springsteen sings?
Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Santa Claus is... It is terrible. It is so terrible. And people come up to me at
That's
Christmas.
That's a shockingly good
and
Bruce
imitation. And they go, hey, Mark, play that Bruce Springsteen Christmas song. And I'm like, are you kidding? I'd rather play The Grinch. I really would.
The Grinch is great.
It is.
I understand I've been a little critical of Dr. Seuss in my day, but The Grinch is fantastic.
It really is good.
A little critical? Wow.
Dude, it's not difficult to rhyme when you're making up your own words. Dude's a hack.
I think he's terrible, and I think the actual illustrations are actually creepy. When I used to, they used to say, oh, these are what all the American kids are reading. You're like 9 years old looking at it going, that's...
Honestly, I love The Grinch, but let's break this down for a second. A green monster breaks into small children's homes. That's what happens in that film.
And he somehow makes it accessible. It somehow makes it a family affair. Yeah.
Yay, burglary! Woo, home invasions! Yay!
It's crazy. You're not supposed to stop reading there. All right.
God. All right, we'll leave it there, everybody. That's fantastic. Mark, thank you for joining us. You can catch the rest of Euros, which is only one game, really, because this podcast will be posted during the second semifinal. So, Mark, thanks for coming in. You can catch, I should finish my sentence. You can catch the rest of Euros and really just anything if you're looking for a good time. Wolf's Beer Garden and the Old English, both on Broadway in Albany. Check those out. Mark, thanks for being here, man.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Jeff, that's Timmy T, Timmy's Tea Time and Tasty Treats with Dr. Jeffrey Sandler coming to a town near you. Jeff, thanks for being here, man.
No problem, Joe. Dr. Sandler. Thanks for the plug.
I really, for our outro, we like to end with a tune. For our outro tune today, I so wish I had time to cue up some jam, but I don't. So, in honor of the fact that yesterday was the day that Doc, did you guys hear this? Doc from Back to the Future, at the end of the first one, when he sets the DeLorean to go forward in time, that was yesterday, June 27, 2012. So, in honor of that, we're going to play the most 80s thing I can think of. It's Huey Lewis in the News. Two Guys, One Mic. Check us out next week. Like our Facebook page. Search Two Guys, One Mic. Use the numbers for the two and the one. Follow me on Twitter at JoeBianchino. Next week, I don't know what we're doing. Probably some baseball. Maybe breaking down the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. You know, the most American event out there. So check us out next week. Thanks for being here. It's Two Guys, One Mic. Have a good one, everybody.